This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today.
The Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Greetings, I am Barry. This is time now for Lee Harris's May Energy Update.
Hi everyone, welcome to the energy update for May 2026 and welcome to England. I'm travelling this month, so we have some gorgeous British trees out the window here, and we have a lot to cover today. But we have an overview energy theme for May, which is propulsive and electrical. So the energy this month is going to be propulsive and electrical, so a lot of movement. Propulsive energies that will move things forward, that will bring things to your attention. And electrical energy can be many different things. It can be shocking, it can be enlivening, it can really change the chemistry of everything that we're seeing and feeling. So just bear that in mind for this month. It is a propulsive and electrical month. And I think the world being what it is, most of us who are sensitive or empathic, intuitive, it's not an easy time to be alive. And I say that not to say that that's the only reality, but that is a huge part of our reality right now. So I also hope that you are taking care of yourself and looking out for yourself. Let's dive into some of the themes. And like last month, I've broken it down into two categories. So we have inner world and we have outer world. I'm going to start with inner world this month. So on the inner world themes, we have a theme of new start energy. So, new start energy is strong in May. This is a time of initiating for many people. It's a good month to use energy and momentum with starting changes in your life, and maybe you already began. May's electrical energy and propulsive momentum will help you initiate or galvanize and ground change in your life. So this won't necessarily be for everyone. I'm going to talk about you guys in the next theme. But for those of you who are feeling a new start energy, it's going to be strong in May. So it may mean that this is the month you start moving into something, or perhaps you've just begun some big changes in your life. And as you go through this month, you should see more support in being able to galvanize ground and kind of bed things in. Seedlings that you may have planted a long time ago that are coming, I think it's seeds actually, not seedlings. Seeds that you planted a long time ago might now be beginning to come to fruition or finally seeing the light of day after a long period of feeling in the dark. So it's going to see a lot of you who are already on a trajectory of feeling quite driven to build and grow something. I don't mean drive in terms of ambition or success, not with an outward attachment, more coming from an inner sense of propulsion. So there's going to be a lot of support for those of you who are on this new start energy. And I should say, by the way, you know, with all of these themes, I write a few lines that are my beginning. And we've actually created something called the Energy Update Guide, which is free. We started it a month ago. So if you wanted to get a written document of the energy update with some journal prompts and a few other things that can help you digest this energy update, please do so. Use the link below. It's completely free. And once you've signed up once, you will get it every month. So don't worry about signing up again. But the energy update guide is there as a resource. So for those of you who are not relating to new start energy at all, the next theme might be pertinent for you. Change fatigue or change resistance. Change fatigue or change resistance. Which is which? It's completely normal to feel change fatigue right now. And if you have strong resistance to initiating more change in your life, trust it. It will pass and reset, and you will find your will rising at the right moment for you. So your will to do, your will to create. When we're fatigued or exhausted, we don't have much will. You know, we're really in recovery mode. We're in draw in the energy, let myself catch up with everything I've been through. I can't engage with what's going on out there, and I can't engage with making new things happen in the outer world. There will be a lot of us feeling that either in moments, or perhaps for you, it's going on for weeks and weeks at the moment. So number one, you're not alone. You know, anyone who is sensory and feeling in the way they process the world, or even anyone who's just feeling either heartbroken or horrified or shocked by many of the things that they're seeing going on around the world, change fatigue is real. And you might just have felt that the world and your life have changed so fast over such a period of time that you haven't got it in you anymore. And you just need to take a breath and sit back as much as you can. Or in the moments that you can take a breath, you won't want to do anything else. So just give yourself that grace if you identify with what I'm saying. You know, we always come back, we go through cycles, and we often aren't allowed to honor those cycles on earth in our system and our programming. But a lot of people will be feeling fatigue from all of the changes they've been witnessing and experiencing. But the other side of this, I wrote down change resistance. I got that very strongly from my guides. Are you in change fatigue or change resistance? Change resistance is really the part of you that feels you want to make some changes, but you don't have it in you. You do have a sense of where you want to go and what you want to do, but the change fatigue has got you. So my advice is always just to trust resistance, unless it's something that you've been in for 6 to 9 months. You know, if resistance has gone on for 6 to 9 months and that's frustrating you, you might want to dig in and do a bit of work, either by yourself or with a healer, a therapist, a good friend who can hold reflection space for you. Why am I resisting this? Can we get underneath it to see if we can create some movement? Because resistance is exhausting. You know, the act of resistance takes energy. So for many of you, it might be that you're stuck in a cycle, but for most of you, it won't be that at all. It will just be that you don't quite have the energy. You have the vision, you have the plan, you know what you want to do. And let's be honest, with the world being so fast and chaotic in the way that it's moving, it's not always supportive for creators to move into action, unless you're in the first group and you are feeling that propulsion that I was talking about. So give yourself some grace if you're feeling change fatigue or change resistance. Theme number three, this was my favorite of the month, calling on the divine masculine, calling on the divine masculine. So let's talk about the divine masculine. Divine masculine protects, supports, balances, empowers, and respects. Now, some people might wonder what's the opposite. So a distorted or toxic masculine energy controls, dominates, suppresses, and acts out of fear or ego. We are at a point where we need the divine masculine energy right now for balance and to allow the divine feminine energy to be able to express without always having to fight for its place. So this has got nothing to do with gender, by the way, although of course you could argue that the masculine lends itself to male-bodied, the feminine lends itself to female-bodied, but that's very arguable as far as I'm concerned. And I think what we're seeing playing out on the planet right now is because we've had such distorted masculine and patriarchal energy for so long, the divine feminine, which really is so required right now for her wisdom, her creation, her ability to bring healing, balance, intuition, all of the things that our world needs, which would lend itself to a more holistic society, gets suppressed. Whatever your gender identity, we all have feminine and masculine in us. So we're really calling on the divine masculine. It's action-based, but it's also coming from a place of protecting and organizing and supporting and respecting and creating space for the divine feminine to rise. So when I was given this theme, I was saying, well, are we supposed to call on the divine masculine? And they were saying, no, it's already happening. It's already rising. But be aware of it. Look for it. And when you see it, celebrate it. Divine masculine energy does not need everyone to know how great it is. Quite the opposite. That's coming more from the distorted and the toxic masculine. Divine masculine energy is willing to do its part and play its part and understand that it is playing its part because the divine masculine is connected. So for all of us, you may be working more with your feminine energy right now. You may be working more with your masculine energy, but I found it very interesting that calling in the divine masculine was given as a mantra and an affirmation for May, and also that we need to see and celebrate more of the people who are operating through this energy on the planet now, because it's going to be how the divine feminine can rise more and express itself. So, calling on the divine masculine. Theme number 4 on the inner world, although this is arguably the outer world too. Fantasy and illusion will be exposed this month. Fantasy and illusion will be exposed this month. Now, I find that interesting because we've been seeing a lot of illusions broken down and imploded over recent months and years, but the fact that it has a spotlight this month is interesting to me. So the message is, grounded awareness will be your ally this month. This is not a month for fantasy or illusion in your own self. So you may see and feel some home truths, and it will also be more revealed in others. So grounded awareness is when you are able to stay grounded and present to what's actually happening, rather than living in a fantasy or an illusion of what you would like it to be or what you're telling everyone it is when it really isn't that. It's not a month for fantasy or illusion in your own self either. Radical honesty with yourself, with your own habits, your own patterns, your own behaviors. I think as we keep ascending in consciousness, all of us are being asked to drop parts of us from the past that maybe were more resonant in years past, but are no longer serving who you are becoming and where you are going. So a part of this for you might be hopefully some loving and gentle home truths, seeing parts of yourself that you're ready to let go of, willing to let go of. Maybe it's behaviors, maybe it's habits. Maybe it's protective or defensive mechanisms that you've carried for years that you no longer need to pretend are real to other people or show. So fantasy and illusion will be exposed this month, which means anything that feels very authentic, very grounded, very real will be attractive to you in May. And anything that seems fake, artificial, or like it's hiding, that won't be so interesting to you, although have compassion, because usually anyone who is trading on fantasy or illusion is usually disconnected from some true part of themselves. So unless someone's being abusive or dominating with their fantasy and illusion, you can just have compassion for people who you see are perhaps struggling with that, and have compassion for yourself when stuff comes up for you, because that's what we all have to do. We all have to be as kind to ourselves as we can, because we've all come through this conditioning, this societal conditioning. We didn't create it, but we imbibed it and we became it. And what we learn as we grow and we go is we let go of the parts that feel more toxic to us or more old or more outdated and outmoded. Okay, let's move to the outer world themes. So this message came in quite strongly, so I'm curious to see how it plays out. But the message was, wild events propelling chaos that leads to shifts. Wild events propelling chaos that leads to shifts. Now, the message here was, May is likely to see some wild moves on the world stage. As and when these happen, breathe and take care of your own reactivity and be mindful of reactions from others. Energetic interventions will and are coming. Energetic interventions are coming. I'll edit the will out. That does not mean we should sit on our hands and just wait necessarily, but remember the times we are in can mean nothing is as it initially seems when it first rears its head. So your first reaction will also change as the situation does. So firstly, I'm actually recording this on April 25th, so who knows, it may even begin before May by the time this gets released. But I've given this message a couple of times over the last 6, 7, 8 months. I've been given this message from my guides that I've been asked to give, which is things are going to happen on Earth. And at first, certain things might look truly terrible. And it's not to say that there aren't some terrible things happening that are terrible, but there are other things that they are saying it will look a certain way for a brief period of time. And then it will change. But while it looks very doom and gloom or particularly alarming, our reactions are going to be a huge part of what happens next. So in terms of your internal reaction, as much as you can, you know, feel what you need to feel always, but try and recognize that we are in the middle of these waves and these energetic earthquakes, and the way that they are often reported to us are very low vibration, fear-based, fitting in with a control agenda. So you just have to be very mindful as you watch things play out in the world. So wild events propelling chaos that leads to shifts. There are a lot of games being played worldwide right now that we're either witnessing or right in the middle of. And when it comes to darker agendas around humanity and people's well-being, it's not that we should sit on our hands, but we do have to also be very mindful about how and when we make our moves. So bear that in mind, and let's hope that the timeline changes and that there aren't some big wild events that do that. But that was the message that came in. So I'm going back to a message I've given many times, which is things that may look terrible at first, and that can also be in your personal life. It's not just outer world stuff. Breathe through it. Take a breath. Take a moment. Try and give yourself some grace to feel what you need to feel. But don't act on your first reaction if you can. And, you know, this is us developing more space inside ourselves with everything that's going on, which I know is not easy. But if there's ever been a time to develop your nervous system and your ability to hold yourself and hold space and stay connected to good people who are your community who can help you do that, this is the time. Okay, the next theme is collective restlessness and agitation rising. Collective restlessness and agitation rising. So, disillusionment in our systems and our leadership is at an all-time low. But so too is the energy drive in people to survive and help build a better world. The restlessness and agitation in the air will build to change. A world is being built around us currently with technology, control, and systems that need to have humanity's best interests in them. As that path increases, the wheels of that system will continue to fall off because they aren't building much of it with humanity's best interests at heart. But it will require more of us being advocates of a more compassionate world. So the message here is, there's a couple of messages in this one. Collective restlessness and agitation rising. I think you can feel that everywhere. I think you can see and perceive it in people, in their faces, in how they're reacting. So reactivity is something we've talked about during these times. People get very reactive. So give people grace and space. It's understandably a time that brings a lot to the surface for people. But equally, the restlessness and agitation will build to change. This is not useless energy. This is energy that is supposed to stir unease or a desire for something else in us so that we move it forward when the time comes. And we will know when the time comes for us to step forward, use our voice, take an action. It may not be today, but you might be feeling the restlessness and the agitation rising in you. So as an inhuman path continues to build itself, the wheels of that system will continue to fall off, but it will require more of us being advocates of a more compassionate world. Now, that compassionate world is not just about feelings. You know, there are those of you who might be helping spread compassion in the world. There are people developing technologies that are to create a more compassionate system, meaning inclusive for all. So it shows up in different ways and different roles. Final two themes we have. Ignoring reality or creating a new one. Ignoring reality or creating a new one. The overwhelm of information right now can lead to many of us needing to step away from all the news headlines and our access to seeing disaster headlines everywhere. Now, for some, it's fine to be connected to it all and they can watch unaffected. In fact, many people use it to study what's going on, which is great. It's okay to follow your truth if you are one who needs to step away or are choosing to look less. But equally, if you're doing that, focus on what you are creating that is different. Different experiences, different ways of being, different ways of creating or serving in the world. This will balance the need to step back. So if you are someone who previously was very much into servicing everyone's feelings or always watching the headlines to see what was going on in the world, and just those are just two examples, and you feel overwhelmed by all of that, it's great if you know you need to step back, but you will need to create something else in its place. And you will need to be tapping in on what it is that you can do and be now. That's really the nature of this time. You know, we're at this accelerated time, yes. But in many ways, for a lot of us, it's kind of back to basics in an interesting way. Many of us are being called back into our souls, into who we are, who our true selves are, before we got lost in the system. So it kind of goes back to the restlessness and agitation theme. There is this energy brewing that, as I started the whole energy update, there are some people who are already running with it. And then there are others who it's moving through your system, but you don't feel readied yet. You are still readying yourself. So it's okay to follow your truth in stepping away or choosing to look less. I think that's important because I've seen, you know, and heard certain people annoyed at people who are choosing not to look, and they go, well, you need to look to be informed. And I don't think that's true. I think we all have to mind our own business about who we are. And some people I know can look at news headlines very technically and they process it very mentally. Some sensitives and empaths I know, it's overwhelming. You read the story and you feel the story and you feel the horror moving through your body. And until we get better mainstream media that isn't so focused on the negative and the fear-based, it's very hard to see that as a true representation of reality, particularly when for all of us, you know, there might be people in your life right now who are really accessing high frequencies in themselves because they're walking the forest every day and they're taking care of themselves. But if you just subject yourself to that narrative all the time, it's more than most people can handle or deal with, because now we are bombarded with information from everywhere. So again, if you are overwhelmed, think and act local for a while. It doesn't mean ignore the rest of the world in terms of your compassion or love or support for the world, but you might need to just make your world a bit smaller so that your nervous system can reset. But do create a new reality if you're choosing to step away from paying attention to the bigger reality that you used to follow. Okay. Final theme, and I think in a way, yeah, this final theme kind of wraps it all up. People power. We are powering up. People power. We are powering up. By unplugging from who and how we used to be, and by outer world events forcing us to change and pivot. You might be feeling pulled in many directions on the timeline right now as you recalibrate. So you might be feeling pulled in yourself. You know, you might be going through such an awakening process around your own life, your own history, your own desires, your own goals, and feeling so much change inside yourself. Because the world that many of us grew up in and knew is rapidly shifting, it does create a relay effect inside the self. So for many of us, I think we're all unplugging from aspects of who we used to be at rapid speed. And it can sometimes create disorientation. I spoke in the April energy update last month about dimensional disorientation, feeling like you're between worlds, between states of consciousness, between old identities and new identities. It's quite normal. But we are powering up through that process. You have to shed to become. You have to shed an old skin to become a new version of yourself. So people power, we are powering up. You might feel very powerful in yourself in new ways right now, and you might feel the most vulnerable you've ever felt, but it's a process. So as ever, get the support you need. Look to the light wherever you can find it, the people, the places, the things that connect you, the experiences that connect you. So those are the themes for May 2026. Okay, that's all from me. Big love, everyone. Take care.
Yeah.
That's the Earth Song from Bob Hillary and the Mighty Mellow. Now this is Pam Gregory, and she's talking about the conjunction between Uranus and Sedna, which sort of goes from May this year right through till next year.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to do quite a short video on what I think is a really powerful aspect coming up for us, which is the conjunction between Uranus and Sedna. Now, many of you are aware of Sedna. I've talked about her in several videos. But just to recap for those of you who haven't heard the myth of Sedna, she is a dwarf planet. She's really referred to as a Sednoid. She has a highly elliptical orbit of 11,400 years. She goes all the way out to the Oort cloud to bring back new information for us here on Earth. And she's moving towards her perihelion in 2076. Now, that's 50 years away, so you might think that's a really long time, which, you know, by some scales it is. But if you have an 11,400-year orbit, it's a tiny amount of time, and she's coming closer all the time. But what's important for us is that Uranus is becoming exactly conjunct to Sedna, Uranus has an 84-year orbit, in late May. It's exact round about the 24th of May, but it will be very tightly conjunct Sedna. It's been within orb for, quite some months. It will become conjunct exactly round about the 24th of May, but will be tightly conjunct through May and June, and then from December ongoing into April next year, April 27. And so this is a time of great activation, and it's a really important ingredient, I believe, for these jumps in evolution that we're going through for sure. So that's why I wanted to do a separate video on this conjunction. So Sedna lived in a village in the Arctic. And she turned down, this is the myth as it goes, there are variations on the myth, but she turned down several suitors. But eventually one day this mysterious stranger arrived in her village and she was just entranced by him. And so he promised many things within the marriage and he took her away to a far distant village. But he really failed on all of his promises and she had very little to eat. It was really a life of scarcity and victimhood. And so she begged her father to come and rescue her. So he came in his canoe, and they set off together. But a huge storm blew up. And in order to save himself, her father threw Sedna out of the boat. And when she tried to hang on with her fingers, he chopped her fingers off. And so she floated down to the deep. She transmuted into a sea goddess and her fingers became beautiful new sea creatures of dolphins and whales, etc. And so firstly, a big, big theme here is clearly the betrayal of the patriarchy, both by her husband and the promises he made that he failed to deliver on, and also by her father, because in order to save himself, service to self, he was going to sacrifice his daughter. So big, big theme of betrayal by the patriarchy here. And I'm sure you can see its relevance in society today, but also scarcity and victimhood. Another big theme in the Sedna myth. However, in her transmutation into a sea goddess, she reclaimed her power. She became empowered and she produced abundance in the sea, new abundance of these new sea creatures. And so this is really a myth for our time, I think, that she had to let go of what she thought was tangible security of the past. The boat had always been tangible security. And we may have to do that too. We may have to release some of the old ways, the old systems, the so-called tangible security, in order to discover a whole new state of being. Because this myth of Sedna isn't just that she transformed in any kind of linear, gradual way. It was a complete change of state. It was a complete metamorphosis, which is what we are going through now as humanity, as we move further into the light body and become more crystalline. And so there's some very relevant themes here. You know, we may feel that she's a, you know, very distant dwarf planet in deep space. However, I think this is really ringing true for us now. And so she really describes the theme of sovereignty. And I've talked a great deal about that with planets moving into Aries, particularly Neptune and Saturn, and more recently Mars, all about sovereignty. That's true with the myths of Chiron conjunct Eris right now. I've talked a lot about that, about moving from victimhood into empowerment and sovereignty. So these themes are being reinforced by different aspects of astrology very strongly and very clearly all at the same time right now. So when Uranus comes to conjunct Sedna, and as I say, that's most exact around about the 24th of May, but it's tight May, June, and again, December into April next year. This is when we'll feel it most strongly. And if you have any planets or angles between about 1 to 3 degrees of the mutable signs, and those are Gemini, where you'll feel this most strongly, Virgo, Sagittarius, or Pisces, you could really be feeling this, not only as a sense of restlessness and wanting more freedom and breaking away from old patterns and stale habits, etc., but a real opening up of your consciousness. Because Uranus, I see, is the planet of awakening and also ignition. There's a kind of takeoff, because Uranus also is never just a gradual or linear. It's to do with quantum leaps, quantum jumps. And so this is a real takeoff, I think, for our consciousness. It's about truth. It's about clarity. We're moving away from that Pisces energy, particularly Neptune in Pisces, into much greater clarity with the Aries energy, the planets in Aries we have now, but also Gemini gives clarity as well. The combination of those gives a lot of clarity and truth. Higher awareness. Uranus is always to do with higher mind, galactic connections and communication. And this is reinforcing this theme of empowerment. Uranus transits occur when we have already outgrown aspects of ourselves. So particularly if it's aspecting any personal part in your chart, you'll be feeling that strongly. I believe through this period, so it'll last around about a year, we are going to make a lot of deep sea discoveries, Sedna, deep sea Uranus discoveries. I believe we're going to discover whole civilizations that live in the deep seas, whole ecosystems we've been unaware of in the deep seas, new medicines, new plant life, new species we've never been aware of before in the deep, deep oceans, which we really haven't explored as humanity to any real degree. This is the beginning of that period. I also believe that this could bring about greater communication with dolphins and whales, the new sea creatures that were birthed from Sedna's fingers. And of course, Joan Ocean is just a marvel, a wonderful marvel at this, because she's in her 80s now. But for decades, I'm getting goosebumps because her work is so beautiful. Check out the Joan Ocean film. It's exquisitely filmed. And Joan tells the story of her communication with the dolphins and the whales. And so she describes them as, I believe, 15th dimensional creatures, sea creatures who are leading our evolution. And here we have an ignition of that. So I believe that more people are going to start to communicate with these beautiful sea creatures at very high dimensional levels. And in general, we're going to start to communicate with more other beings that are non-human, animals, plants, birds, trees, the elementals, the galactic beings of, we are also galactic beings, remember. We are birthed from stardust. You know, the calcium in our bones, the iron in our blood, all from the stars. This is our galactic family that we are going to reconnect to as well. So this greater sense of multidimensionality, which is very much what this conjunction is about in Gemini, mutable air, people are starting to experience a greater sense of multidimensionality, whether it's tuning into their past lives or their future lives, or, as I say, connection and communication to other beings, other galactic races, etc. This is just the beginning of a whole new level of consciousness, and it's going to be a higher octave of consciousness. It's going to be wider perception. It's like we've lived all our lives with a filthy windscreen in our car that's been really muddy and murky. And now with this aspect in particular, this conjunction between Uranus and Sedna, the windscreen is going to be wiped clean. We are going to have a wider lens on everything, really, on our consciousness, on how our neural networks work. There will be a much greater understanding of consciousness as we move forwards, and big shifts in perception, big shifts in our lens on the world. You know, how we see our reality is going to shift to very different levels from this very singular, contracted, 3D linear perspective we've had up to now, broadly. This is very revolutionary energy, very rebellious energy. Uranus is the planet of rebellion and revolution. Gemini is the sign of nonconformism. And together with Sedna, which is this whole new state of being, we are going to be really rebelling against any sense of control and contraction. I mean, remember that this trine, which is now operational by sign, or certainly, yeah, as of today, actually, I'm filming this on the 26th, that Uranus has just moved into Gemini. This is now a in sign trine. Previously, it was an out of sign trine when Uranus was right at the end of Taurus. It's now an in-sign trine with Pluto in Aquarius. Pluto is around about four of Aquarius, and Uranus is just at one, but they are going to become exactly trine in July. But Sedna is also part of this trine as well. Now, if you go back to the 1960s and remember when these two planets, Uranus and Pluto, were conjunct around about 1966, 65, 66, this was a time of great rebellion and revolution. There were huge protests across the world. I've talked about this before, of anti-war. We want peace. This was the peace and love revolution. It was anti-Vietnam War. It was a time of great, it was right across the world. People were sitting in universities and say, we want a more loving world. We do not want war. And this is the aspect which is now blossoming. The trine is a very positive aspect that is blossoming exact in July. And again, you're going to get a lot of that, a lot of reaction and revolution. And it's going to be very interesting, I think, for the children of people who were born round about the 1965-66, who were born with that conjunction between Uranus and Pluto. How is this beautiful conjunction between Uranus and Sedna and the trine to Pluto, the blossoming of their natal chart, how are they going to be feeling about the war and potentially their children, because they're going to be, what, 60 years old roughly, and their children may be having to go off to war. How's that going to work? Not that well, I'd suggest. It's very rebellious, revolutionary energy. So the other aspect of this, I think, that's important to note is that with Pluto in Aquarius and Uranus in Gemini, they're both air signs to do with the mind, and this can produce a lot of overwhelm, too much information. We're hopping, you know, from one social media platform to another. We've got the attention span of a hamster. You know, it's just too much information. We can feel very jazzed up with this constant multitasking and hopping from one thing to another, and so many demands on our time. But if you think of the antidote to that, Sedna surrendered, and there is deep, deep, deep silence and stillness at the bottom of the ocean. She's the Inuit sea goddess. Profound stillness and silence at the bottom of the ocean. So the more you can follow Sedna's myth and drop into stillness, drop into silence, book stillness meetings with yourself, the better you will navigate these jazzed up times that we have now. That's the antidote. I believe, and I mentioned this in another video, that people will start to speak other languages, Gemini, spontaneously, whether it's light language or new galactic or old galactic languages or ancient languages. The lovely, talented Eileen McCusick wrote to me recently, and she was with some friends, and they all spontaneously started to speak an ancient language, the same ancient language together. So it's not like we have to study a book or a class. It's just an instant download. It's going to be very, very exciting and help our communication with many other life forms on Earth and species. And so this conjunction, I believe, is an incredibly important ingredient for this accelerated period of evolution for humanity, which, as I've said repeatedly, is 2025 to 2027. It's going to go on, of course, to infinity after that. And, you know, we've got a very strong period in 2030, 2032. However, this is the concentrated, accelerated period. And the conjunction between Uranus and Sedna is highlighting that as well. So this is, you know, this is really expanded perception. And think how special this this conjunction is, particularly as Sedna comes close to her perihelion, closer and closer. So remember, check your own chart, see where this is happening, 1 degree of Gemini. And by 12 months' time, a year from now, Sedna is barely, she's not even quite at 2 degrees of Gemini. And Uranus tends to hover around a degree point for about a year. So this is certainly operational for the next year. So as I say, if you've got anything between 1 and 3 degrees of any mutable sign, you're going to be feeling this. And you're going to be feeling some, you know, deep pulls towards different levels of consciousness and perception. Also, I think what Sedna will help us with is that she is deeply feminine with this new divine feminine energy coming, also very ancient divine feminine energy coming in to rebalance the overload of the masculine patriarchy. She will bring in also this a connection to our feelings, to our intuition, to get us out of our heads as well, Gemini. Too much head, Aquarius. You know, it's very heady, it's very intellectual. The other thing just to say about this is also that the last time Sedna came close to her perihelion, it was the Neolithic Revolution. And what was happening then was humanity was going from living as hunter-gatherers to setting up small agricultural settlements, small villages. They were starting to build sacred sites at that time. So they were developing a sense of divinity for the first time, certainly in our recorded history. It might have been many, many, many thousands of years ago. We had that, of course, and there's evidence for that. But in recorded history, so it was the beginning of a new society at that time. And that is, goosebumpy now, that is absolutely what I believe this conjunction between Sedna and Uranus promises for us. It's an initiation, an ignition into a new galactic consciousness and a new galactic society, a new multidimensional society that is going to be talked about in history books. These are incredible times that we are living in. And remember, every thought, every feeling, every emotion you have right now is putting paint on that blank canvas for creating new earth and moving forwards into this incredible higher octave of consciousness for humanity. So know your spiritual responsibility with this. It's super exciting. So that's why I really wanted to do a separate video on this, because it's such a special and potent ingredient in the whole mix of what we're experiencing right now. God bless. Be back very soon with another video. Thank you for listening.
ELO, of course, the Electric Light Orchestra, and all over the world. What we're hoping for is peace and love all over the world. Anyway, we haven't heard from Patricia Coda Robles for a while, since the death of her husband, but she's now talking about important opportunities for this confusing time.
Hi, precious heart. Do you feel like you've been in a blender? Well, you're not alone. During the rare influxes of light we experienced in March and April, our pineal and pituitary glands and the dormant genetic codes in our 12 strands of fifth-dimensional crystalline solar DNA were recalibrated by our I Am presence and our body elemental to receive higher frequencies of light than we have ever been able to withstand at a cellular level. That recalibration greatly accelerated the divine alchemy taking place in our physical, etheric, mental, and emotional bodies. And the physical, etheric, mental, and emotional strata of Mother Earth as well. I know that from outer appearances, it seems as though many things are going wrong. These things easily get our attention because they are painful and often affect our lives adversely. What the Company of Heaven wants us to remember today is that even though these things grab our attention, they are a minuscule fraction of what is currently occurring on Earth. Remember, there are 8,500,000,000 people evolving on this planet. And we have been assured by our Father, Mother, God that the vast majority of them spend at least a portion of their life force expressing love and gratitude in one way or another every single day. As a very brief reminder of this profound truth, the Company of Heaven is reiterating that due to the literally millions of activities of light that were co-created through the unified efforts of heaven and earth during the past several decades, Mother Earth was able to reclaim her rightful place in the universe in 2023. During the December solstice that year, Mother Earth and the galaxies from the suns beyond suns in Earth's lineage were inbreathed by our Father, Mother, God into the full embrace of our grand central sun. This paved the way in 2024 for the transfiguration of the dense, tar-like veil of illusion that had been encapsulating Mother Earth since our fall from grace. Humanity had inadvertently created this dense tar-like veil by choosing to use our creative faculties of thought and feeling in ways that were not based in love. Through the unified efforts of awakening humanity and the beings of light in the realms of illumined truth, once the veil of illusion was transfigured, a gossamer-like veil of light enveloped Mother Earth in its place. In 2025, as the light of God increased on Earth, unimpeded by the veil of illusion, Mother Earth and all life evolving upon her reached a frequency of vibration that inspired a unique awakening within the hearts and minds of the masses of humanity. This unique awakening cleared the way vibrationally in 2026 for a rapid evolutionary shift into Christ consciousness. This shift will be possible for the masses of humanity during the next 5 years, 2026 through 2030. This will be a shift within the mass consciousness of humanity that the Company of Heaven originally believed would take centuries. In the heavenly realms, May is considered a mystical month because of all of the special events that occur during May. These events involve both divine intervention and special celestial gifts for humanity. Following the monumental influx of light we received in March and April of this year, May is going to bless humanity in exponentially more powerful ways. May 1st is celebrated throughout the world as Saint Germain's Ascension Day. Every year on that sacred and holy day, Saint Germain directs his legions of violet fire angels to bless the earth with the most intensified frequencies of the violet flame that cosmic law will allow. In 2026, this sacred fire will build in momentum throughout the entire month of May. The violet flame, which reflects the divine balance of our Father, Mother, God, is the most powerful tool for transmuting negativity available in all creation. We each have the ability to be an instrument of God during this cosmic moment. All we have to do is go within to the divinity of our heart flame and volunteer to be the open door for the violet flame with every breath we take. We can easily accomplish that by decreeing, I am my I Am Presence, and I am one with the I Am Presence of every person on earth. What I invoke for myself this day, I invoke for every person in perfect alignment with their divine plan and their highest good. Beloved Saint Germain and all of the legions of light associated with the violet flame, come forth now. Blaze, blaze, blaze the full momentum of this sacred violet fire in, through, and around every electron of precious life energy I have ever misqualified in any time frame or dimension, both known and unknown. Transmute these patterns of imperfection, cause, core, effect, record, and memory into God's infinite perfection with every breath I take. And so it is. Another wonderful thing that occurs during the month of May is that our beloved Mother Mary opens the doors to her Temple of the Immaculate Heart in the inner plains, and she invites all of us to visit her in our finer bodies while we sleep at night. All we have to do is ask our I Am Presence to take us to Mother Mary's Temple of the Immaculate Heart when we go to sleep, and it will be done. Since we are one with all life, we have the ability to ask the I Am Presence of every person on earth to do the same by simply affirming, I am my I Am Presence, and I am one with the I Am Presence of all humanity. What I ask for myself, I ask for every person on earth, in perfect alignment with each one's divine plan and the highest good for all concerned. Beloved I Am Presence, as I sleep, please take me in my finer body into Mother Mary's temple of the Immaculate Heart. Help me to bring back clearly in the morning the memory of what occurred there. And so it is. This May, Mother Mary is going to work with our I Am Presence to help us bring the immaculate concept of our full divine potential to a conscious level within our hearts and minds. Our immaculate concept is our divine blueprint, which is encoded within the 12 strands of our fifth dimensional crystalline solar DNA. This assistance from Mother Mary is now possible because of the rapid evolutionary shift into Christ consciousness that is now available to the masses of humanity, 2026 through 2030. Another event that takes place during the month of May is known as the Wesak Festival. This is the celebration of Gautama Buddha's birth and his day of enlightenment. The Wesak Festival takes place during the full moon in the sun cycle of Taurus. This year, the Wesak full moon will take place on May 1st. During the Wesak full moon, Gautama Buddha floods the earth with the frequencies of enlightenment. The divine intent of this blessing is to assist the I Am Presence of every person by empowering the flame of enlightenment within every heart flame, which will assist our return to Christ consciousness. Another event that greatly adds to the light of the world during the month of May is the celebration of Mother's Day, which takes place in several countries. Mother's Day in the United States, Canada, and Mexico will be May 10th in 2026. This year, on every Mother's Day celebrated throughout the world, our Mother God and all of the feminine aspects of deity are going to flood the earth with higher frequencies of comprehensive divine love than we have ever been able to experience. Everything is being recalibrated as our bodies are transfigured from carbon-based planetary cells into fifth-dimensional crystalline-based solar light cells. We are able to receive and assimilate higher frequencies of our Mother God's love than ever before. The company of heaven is revealing to us now that the influx of our Mother God's fifth dimensional crystalline solar flame of comprehensive divine love, working in unison with the influx of Saint Germain's fifth dimensional crystalline solar violet flame and Mother Mary's fifth dimensional crystalline solar flame of the Immaculate Concept, will form the catalyst and the foundation that will help to propel humanity into the rapid evolutionary shift into Christ consciousness that is now available to us beginning in 2026. God bless you, dear one. I wish you a God victorious mystical month of May.
So just to finish off, we've got Lee Harris again, and he's talking about with his Zeds, his guides, the world is entering a massive transformation.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a big general question, and it's the kind of thing I think you could talk about for many, many hours, but you can just give me the pith response. How do you see, from all the work you've done with disease, this time we're in as a human species? This is my big general. Oh my God, this time we're recording this conversation end of 2025.
Things that groups of us have known about or been privy to or heard about for the last 30, 40, 50 years are now happening right in front of our faces. So to me, this is kind of a crunch time, meaning this is it. Like, this is the moment where things start to transform. I'm often, you know, it's weird. I just got that image of the movie Titanic, where at the end, you know, the boat kind of snaps in half and everything goes the other way. I feel like that's where we're at right now. I feel that we've gone through this period over about the last 10, 13 years, like 2012 onwards, we've started to see what we knew as the 3D world transform. And I feel like we're right now at the beginning of the next massive transformation. I think we're going to see transformation in the next 10, 20 years that could match what our parents' generation saw in their whole lifetime.
And if a listener says, well, my intent is to align as much as possible with benevolent impacts, how do I do that, Lee, from your perspective?
Work on love. So identify what love feels like to you in your body. For some people, love feels like purpose. For some people, love feels warm and fuzzy and giving things to people. And for some people, it's different for everyone. But aligning with purposeful either work, or perhaps it's not your career, but it's work that you do as service or with your community, that kind of makes your heart light up. Because usually your heart will be lighting up because you're lighting up other hearts at the same time. And you're in resonance with hearts you're lighting. And equally in your personal life, look for love and look to keep moving toward love and away from judgment, division, which for all of us requires and involves shedding behaviors that we all used to see as normal based on our conditioning that we then outgrow and go, oh, wow, that's a bit judgmental. I had no idea, but I was trained into it. Now I know what my heart feels like. I can recognize when I say that thing about this person, ooh, that didn't feel good, because I've opened my heart to love enough that I recognize there isn't enough love in that sentence I just said. Oh, time for me to stop saying what I learned from my family or the business place I've been in for 10 years. Who do I want to be? And I would say love and heart energy. The Z's have said heart energy is going to be one of the main currencies on the earth in the coming decades. So heart energy to me always makes me think, yeah, where do we feel love? Where do we feel we have given love, received love? Where do we feel love inside us for what we are doing, what we are living? Can we keep going in that direction as much as possible on any given day?
What do you mean by currencies, one of the main currencies?
Yeah, good question. They said heart energy is going to be one of the most important things on the planet in the coming decades, meaning it will be who is using their heart intelligence, not their mental or egoic intelligence, in isolation from their heart. So the way I can look at that is the good of the all being considered? Is what it is that you want to do, does it have a positive ripple effect in the world? Or is it something you want to do to feed yourself, just you and your family, just your ego, whatever need you have to be seen a certain way. These are all fairly old paradigm identities that are fading out. Overall, they're fading out. There will still be some people who will embody them a lot. And then there will be others who have no interest in that kind of story of being on earth anymore. And they will move more to a heart space, which is my heart feeling like we are good? Is my heart feeling like my world is good? I'm trying to think, how can I explain it less abstractly for someone who doesn't really understand what I'm talking about? It is as simple as, and yet this is challenging to be vigilant about if you aren't a growth-oriented or minded person. It is as simple as asking yourself, how did I feel today on a scale of 1 to 10 overall throughout my day? I give myself a 2. I was really stressed this morning. Then I was agitated at lunchtime. Then there was too much work in the afternoon. And then my sister really annoyed me when she phoned me at 6. Yeah, today wasn't a good day. This was a 2 out of 10. Okay, how tomorrow do I make it a 6 out of 10? Well, I have to identify what the stresses were. So you can say, angels, please let me have a better day tomorrow. And that's one way of creating a different energy in your life. But you'll also have to go, oh, yeah, my sister, I probably shouldn't take her call tomorrow if she calls me again. Or I need to have a clear conversation with her about, we need to learn to communicate differently because this isn't working for me. The work I'm doing is sapping my soul. I might need to think that over the next 6 to 12 months, I need to take action around that. So I think uncovering the heart actually takes work. It's not just, oh, good, I felt really good for 10 minutes. I found my heart. I think it's also identifying where and when we get further away from our heart. So I know for me, it would be overwhelm or stress. So then I'll look at, okay, I need to calm the schedule down. I spoke to too many people today. How am I going to change that tomorrow? So it's always kind of fine tuning through your own evolution process.
You know, it's interesting to me, this notion on liberating, I would say, our heart energy to flow in an unobstructed way. That's the way I'll put it from my own experience. And it's interesting. I feel like I'm right on time in a certain way, which I'm grateful for. I don't say that arrogantly. I hope it doesn't sound that way. It's more like I've been suffering and this is apparent that this is the next evolutionary phase that wants to happen, which is to find in my own inner awareness pockets of heart energy that are occluded, like somehow little areas that are like, no, we're not going to be part of the big heart opening agenda, Tammy. No way. It's going to hurt too much. Bye-bye. 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 No. And they're like hiding out a little bit.
Yeah.
And I wonder what you might say to that for other people who are on this work on love project. They get it. That's what this time's about, but have pockets of like, it hurt too much.
It's, by the way, that's normal. And I think it's so interesting because, Tammy, it's brilliant talking to you. Firstly, because of what you've done for so long in the field, you know, you've been doing this for 30 years and you've built an organization that serves consciousness. You know, I've been a student of self-growth and spirituality consciously since I was 16 and I'm 49 now, and I've been working in it for 21 years. I resonate with what you just said because I think back to what I thought about spirituality and self-growth 25, 30 years ago, and it seems so basic now, but it's where not only I was, it's where the world was. And I think we've all changed. And so I think if you are a student of self-growth and spirituality for a long time, there can be this sometimes illusionary idea that, oh, well, I'm just going to be enlightened for the last 30 years of my life and everything's going to be peaceful and easy. And actually, if you are here as an energy mover or as an energy worker or a light worker or a grid worker, whatever label you do or don't identify with, the path is usually one of constant change and transformation. Because if you're here to be here for the ride of transformation on Earth, lo and behold, you're going to have to be a few steps ahead of it.
In your mind, you have capacities, you know, to to telepath messages through the vast unknown. Please close your eyes and concentrate with every thought you think upon the recitation we're about to say. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary most extraordinary craft.
Did you hear what Karen Carpenter had to say all those years ago? It's within your mind to have the capacity to know. That's why this radio program is called The Voice Within, because you know it already. Anyway, what's happening at Infinity? It's all happening Saturday because it's Mother's Day. We've got six or seven, eight, not sure, people here doing readings and healings at a special reduced rate. We've got all sorts of things happening. You can come and make a Native American drum as well if you want. We've got raffles going on, all sorts, to celebrate Mother's Day. And then next week, my introduction to spirit is all about colours. So that's Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And then coming up on the 24th, Michelle Buchanan, the well-known international numerologist, should be over here doing numerology and manifestation. So you can find all details of everything you want to know on www.infinityspiritualcentre.co.nz. I'm Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.